All right, how you doing, Shayla?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very, very, very well today. I have a very, as you know, I got a very, very special edition of our podcast today. This is the Learning Leverage Podcast, Season 2, Episode 3, but this is going to be my personal favorite one. Reason being for a multitude of reasons, but Miss Shayla, I want to congratulate you because although you are soon to be a millionaire, you are actually the first guest on the podcast who's not a millionaire. How you feel about that?
Pretty good,
actually. And the reason that's so significant is because you are my first student that is successful. So what we're going to talk about today is basically your deals, the genesis of our relationship, how you are going to move forward in your personal business moving forward, and get your plans of attack. All right, so without further ado, why don't you go ahead and introduce everybody to you?
Oh, I can introduce myself. Okay, cool. My name is Chayla Lewis. Mm-hmm. I am an investor / wholesaler. I would call myself a jack of all trades. I work a regular 9-to-5 like most people. I actually work for the government. Love my job, doing training development. I'm a member of the amazing Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And I also coach basketball on the side. So that's just a little bit about me. Just a regular person.
Regular, I disagree with the regular person. Because the stuff, I'm going to tell you why though, the stuff that I taught you, I taught maybe, I'll say about 16, 17 other people, and you made about $30,000 to $40,000 more than them. So that's not regular.
Respectfully.
That's not regular. So Shayla came to me via, I believe our genesis was on Facebook, correct?
Yeah, so one day I was, I had been trying to teach myself, like, wholesaling, and I was, I was in the step of the process where you learn that you need to get leads, and I was being lazy, so I went to Facebook and tried to see if I could just buy some instead of actually learning how to do it myself, and so I reached out to Lenny. I didn't know who he was at the time.
Who's Lenny? Who's Lenny? He sounds so handsome. Who's that?
My mentor is a regular guy, LOL. But yeah, honestly, I reached out, and I was just going to pay him for the leads, and then I took a minute, I took a step back, and I said, actually, can you just teach me how to fish? And then that's when our relationship started. We started building a rapport.
And we started from that, and when she stated, teach me how to fish, she basically inquired, teaching her how to wholesale. I believe from a span of about 14 months. I'll let you show off your everything you did, all your trophies, all of your accomplishments. But we can wait for the trophies. My first question is, what is the name of your company and why?
Okay, cool. This is my favorite question every time someone asks me. So the name of my business is Matriarch Mindset, LLC.
Okay.
The reason that I named my business Matriarch Mindset is because both of my grandmothers are really impactful in my life, and they were the head of their households, and the matriarch is a female head of household, a leader of a tribe. And although both of them were married, they both superseded their husbands, and they just, you know, lived a little bit longer. But I just really love to see women lead in this space, especially Black women.
Absolutely.
We live in a patriarchal society, so it's just really nice to see women come and lead and be ahead of their own, you know, thing, their business, their family, whatever it is. Just taking that leadership role, I think, is really dope.
That is amazing. I remember when you first gave me the name, I didn't know what it was till you explained it. And after you told me what and why, I was even more proud of what you did. For a multitude of reasons, obviously, my mother's Black. Obviously, I love Black women. But one thing I really, really, really love is watching Black women get money.
Facts. Yeah, honestly, I just wanted to pay homage to both my grandmothers. I think they held it down. They were leaders, and they just made it look so easy. So I just want to be like them.
Fire. All right, so let's first talk about your interest in wholesaling. What made you want to go ahead and get started? And before you close your first deal, we're going to ask the personal questions as far as how much it was. Before you close your first deal, were you skeptical about the process? Did that handsome guy, Lenny, do or say anything to you that made you feel doubted or feel more stronger about the process? How do you feel?
So the reason I got into wholesaling, I guess I was in a period in my life where I was on YouTube just looking at new avenues and make money. But I wanted something that wasn't going to make me trade my time for it. Because I think your time is just something you just can never get back.
Time is money.
Time is money. And I saw wholesaling as being like something that's lucrative, something that I could do from the comfort of my own home. I don't got to be running around town. I don't have to use any of my money. It just sounded like a win-win. So I'm like, okay, wholesaling could be cool. But also the reason I wanted to even get any extra income or any money on the side is that I honestly don't want to work forever. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's nice to be employed, self-employed, but I want to move into, like, investor. Like, my money makes me money. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to work until I'm 50. I think that's a beautiful plan. Both of my parents actually just retired.
Congrats to them.
37 years of service for my mom. Yeah, in fact, 35 for my dad. And, you know, they are straight. I've been taken care of as their child. Like, everything is kosher, but as we move on and evolve, I think that there are different routes to success. And not that that's a bad route. It's just not one I want to take. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to work until I'm 50-something. Honestly, I don't. And so I'm just looking for ways to make that money and invest it so that I can just live passively and be on vacation all the time.
There's nothing wrong with that. I personally love vacation. All right, so yeah. Now...
So when I reached out to you...
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you the second part of your question. But when I reached out to you and I was... I think the good thing about my relationship with you, also I think which speaks to, you know, how successful I've become in my business, is that I taught myself as much as I could by myself mm-hmm. before I even came to reach out to somebody to teach me more. Remember our early conversations, you would say something like, oh yeah, because of this, and you're like, oh yeah, you know. I'm like, well,
That's very true. Like, That's factual. You definitely came in knowing a lot more than the average person.
Yeah, because I think that it's only fair, like, if someone's going to take their time to, like, teach you something, because I'm a coach, so I'm about passion, so if I have a kid who wants to learn how to play basketball, but she's not even really trying to learn the basics, the fundamentals of the game, then I can't really take it serious, or him or whatever, from training. But for me, it was just kind of like, if I want you to take me serious as a student or, like, somebody you might want to work with, I got to put in the work so you know I'm valuable. Just like any job, any business. So that was important to me.
That's very, very, very important. So now that you are, well, before we get to that part, let's go ahead and show off. You used to play basketball and you're a coach now, correct?
I did.
So I'm going to assume that trophies are very big indications to success when we're playing basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to take this time for you to just basically show yourself off and show off some of your trophies. I understand now that you have some deals that you have closed from your wholesale, correct?
Correct. I also told Lenny that, you know, I think it's important to have social proof, so that's why I'm going to bring these checks and show up. But it's not like that for nobody to see these checks to think that, you know, it needs to be,
that's a lot of checks, baby.
This is just for social proof. This is not like to brag and all that good stuff, but people do need to see that it's real and it can happen.
Fuck all that. Yeah. What we got to do, honestly speaking, because we got enough hurdles and stuff to go over, so I'm very, very big on congratulating yourself and being proud of yourself. Those are yours. You earned those. I understand the disclosure and all that, but I'm not a PC person. Fuck all that. Checks, that's like 8 checks garnering about, she won't say it, so I'll say it. That's like 8 to 9 checks garnering about close to $30,000 to $40,000. Is that correct?
Yeah, and or more.
See, that's what I'm talking about. So, and that's all via wholesale deals, right?
Correct.
That's amazing. First of all, I want to just say I'm very, very proud of you. Although you came to me for, like I said, mentorship. Like I said, I taught a lot of people the same stuff I taught you. And you made the most money out of everybody. And I know you're only going to make more. I know that this year you're going to demolish that $30,000 number that you were there before. And I'm just very blessed to just watch somebody else succeed. Not even from the stuff that I said. Forget what I said. Just from taking action on your side.
Facts. Got to take action. Got to be consistent. Because some days it's going to feel like, is this working? You got to keep pushing. You just got to keep pushing.
So if you had to, what was your first step as far as making sure your first deal got closed? Was there any hurdles at all in that regard? Why don't you walk us through that?
My first deal... So I had a couple of first deals, but it's not a deal till it closes. I learned that the hard way.
That's a fact.
It's not a deal till it closes. It's not. You don't make no money until you get your HUD closed and they send you a check or wire your money. But when I was first looking, I was looking at for sale by owner leads on Zillow and Trulia and stuff like that. I reached out to some owners. They had some tax issues and stuff, but that also gave me opportunity to learn about tax liens in Baltimore City. So that was nice. But when I first actually got to close my first deal, I sent out like some text message marketing to this man. His name is Lloyd, really good guy. And he had four properties that he wanted to sell. So this is like a gold mine for anybody who's wholesaling, because usually you're just looking for one and you just stumble and find four. Mm-hmm. And so I built a rapport with him, really nice guy. And I told him, you know, I told him what I did. I was very transparent about my business. I think transparency is key. There are some people in this business that are fraudulent and pretend to be, you know, be people that they're not. But it's okay to be who you are. Like, it's okay to be an investor. It's okay to be a wholesaler. It's okay to be a cash buyer. You just got to know your role and how to play it, because we can all work together. Long story short, he gives me a contract for one. He says, you sell this one, I need the other three. So I sold the first one. Who did I sell it to? I sold that one with John. And that one was it was a pretty big check for my first one. I think it was about $7,500. And
congratulations, motherfucking nations, though. That's amazing, yeah, though.
Thank you. I was like, what? So it was super exciting. I was hyped. And once I knew it could be done,
that's all you needed to see.
I can repeat the project.
That's all you needed to see.
All I needed was a platform.
That's it.
I had the plan.
So I got a question for you. How soon after your first deal closed, right, did the second one come?
Probably like that next week. That momentum was crazy.
What did you do?
It was like things were just falling in my lap.
What did you do marketing-wise to get that second deal? Did anything change from the first? And as you went along, did you change your marketing aspect, or did that handsome guy give you everything you needed to know?
So we talked about inbound and outbound marketing, and I did both to start off, like sending out, you know, letters to people's homes, and also have a cold callers call around. I did some cold calling myself so I could learn, because you can't really teach nobody you don't do yourself. You know, you can't teach anybody how to do something you don't do for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that I didn't really like that. One, because I wasn't trusting that the people who said they were calling and making these calls were actually calling. That's just me. And then two, I just didn't feel like the return was enough for like the amount of time and the investment. So I started sending out text messages. I thought text messages were just gold, because if I could send out 1,000 text messages, I'm either going to get 3 responses, don't hit me no more, delete me my number, or sure, send me an offer. Like, it's very quick. And that's how I started doing my marketing. And I still do it like that to this day. I think it's just part of my business strategy. It just works for me. And a lot of people, I've actually closed deals where I've never actually spoken to someone on the phone.
Like, absolutely. The
whole time. Yeah, so it's just a nice form of communication. So that's my preferred method of marketing.
So now that you are an experienced wholesaler with multiple deals under your belt, what piece of advice would you give somebody that just started wholesaling today, somebody who just saw this video on YouTube and said, I want to be like her. I want to make money via wholesale, and I want to free myself before retirement. What would be the first piece of advice and the second?
My first piece of advice would just be to run your own race. Everybody is doing their own thing at their own pace, and you shouldn't be comparing yourself to what other people are doing, but you should be motivated. You know, it's good to be motivated by what you see, or like, you know, someone showing checks, and I can see how, because that motivated me before I got, you know, experience. But you shouldn't, you know, compare yourself to other people's journey. It's really an isolated experience. And I guess my advice would just be consistent and don't doubt yourself, because persistence overrules resistance. So as long as you're persistent, you'll get it. And if you're consistent, you'll keep it. So just do what you got to do and stay focused.
Stay focused, stay in your real state of mind, and understand that comparison is the thief of joy. So,
the thief of joy. It is literally the thief of joy.
You know what I'm saying?
Joy.
That's why I don't hate on nobody, no nothing. Not. You said what?
Everybody's not out here really doing what they say they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely, like, man. Especially these days with social media and everything.
Yeah, so you got to monitor that. Even like social media-wise, like I have one of my friends run my social media for me, because I just too much static. Like I can't. It's always something to see. It's always something to see. I don't need to see any of it. I just need people to know about matriarch mindset. And I will, you know, advertise to my buyers as such, but I don't, it's a lot. It's a lot, so.
What do you say to the investor that closed their first deal, but has having a very, very first time, hard time, pardon me, getting their second, and or to the person that is doing marketing, and nothing's working for them. What do you have to say for that person, knowing that you were once in their shoes?
Oh, if you close the first one, just know that if you did it once, you can do it again.
That's a fact.
And for the person who is marketing, going consistently, at some point, whatever you're really good at, it took you some time to master it. It took you some time to, like, really make it yours. It's like basketball. Like, if you're a shooter, you don't just, you know, you got to put up shots. You got to put up a lot of shots. Your averages increase. You take better shots. Your shots are more consistent. Now you're a shooter. You don't just, you know, jump out of the gate being a shooter. You don't just take no shot. So, just continue to be consistent and just trust that what you're doing is working. But also know that it's okay to pivot sometimes and try something new, but just don't stop. It's okay to rest, recalibrate. My friend Kyle Patton, actually, his quote is, as often as you need to, as much as you need to realign yourself. So if you need to take a day or weekend to maybe pull another list or try a different form of marketing, try it out. But don't just quit, because you won't see no results if you quit.
Absolutely. So moving forward for this year, do you have any goals? Are you going to continue wholesaling? Are you going to add more divisions to your real estate business? How is that looking for you? Now that you made all this money via wholesale, how's it looking for you for this year? It's a big year for you. How's it feeling?
I mean, honestly, 2022 is a blessing just to see it is, you know.
Big facts.
Considering all the things going on in the world, I think for me, last year was really about getting the cash flowing, and this year is about investing the cash. So I'm looking to invest my money in real estate in multiple ways, not just rentals, possibly some fix and flip situations, doing, you know, the private money thing or maybe hard money, but definitely investing it back into the business, because I think it's important also that when you start your business to not eat from your business immediately. Like, I haven't spent any of the proceeds from my business. I don't need to. Like, I'm trying to reinvest that money right back in the business so I can continue to grow it, and it's in its infancy stages. Like, I can't be taking all the profits, because then, you know, it's going to be running me dry, and I won't have any money to put on down payments, pay lenders for, you know, stuff like that. So I think I'm really excited to see what the real estate market's about to do, because, you know, foreclosure, unfortunately, is coming, but that's, like, a huge opportunity in our business. So I'm not looking forward to it, but I am looking forward to it.
I am very much looking forward to it. And our business, mainly what we do, honestly, is we search for pain points where we can add value to both the buyer and the seller. So what I mean by that when I say I'm looking forward to it is I want to help somebody in trouble. I want to, and if I can make money while doing so, then that just proves how good God is. That just proves how great we got air in our lungs, and we're allowed to make money while adding value to ourselves and our personal business and everybody else.
That part. Yeah, because everyone wins. Literally, everyone wins. And I think that's why this feels like a service-based business, because the seller who's selling gets to get out of their situation. Even if it's not necessarily like a financial burden on them, maybe it's just an old property, they just want to move on to something new. The investor who's paying for it is getting something to fix and flip, maybe rent out or do whatever they buy and hold. And then in the middle man is making up the profit from joining them both together. So everyone wins, honestly.
Absolutely.
This is enough money for everybody to eat. Definitely.
Now, were you, now be honest here as well. Were you skeptical at first signing up with me for my services? And now that you've garnered, it's a two-part question. And now that you've garnered all these particular checks, would you advise anybody else to sign up for these services? Three-part question. And are you also going to help other people in this regard the same way I helped you?
Okay, yes. Super skeptical. For other reasons than most people are. Everybody's trying to get rich, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got to pay to play. But I think it's important that you do have to pay for people's knowledge and or the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was definitely skeptical, because you telling me I gotta you know, invest in you to teach me some stuff that I don't know in order to make some more money. Because it's like, you know, you don't get to see the money up front. You do get it back, I mean, clearly, but, you know, you have to make that investment in yourself. Would I recommend? Yes, I would recommend. Absolutely.
Nice.
What was the third question? Because it was three.
The third question was, now that you've made all this money yourself, do you foresee yourself teaching others the same way I taught you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I want to teach. I don't necessarily want a course, but I think that I can find other ways to add value to people and help them out. And I think mine will probably be a much more hands-on approach, which will also funnel my business. So possibly like, hey, if you got a contract and you're not sure how to dispo it, come to me. We can JV. We can split it, or I can teach you how to do this and stuff like that. So cause I think that that's valuable because you actually get to learn while you're doing it, which makes you feel like you're doing more.
Mm. So I had a little bit of a, I wouldn't say a head start, but what I had was my father was a realtor, right? Or is a realtor. So growing up, I seen him deal in that regard as far as transactions go. So I was kind of familiar with real estate a little bit. Did you have anybody in your family that does real? Because, you know, we all know a realtor. Did you have anybody that does real estate or anything like that? Or did you just say, hey, that guy's real handsome. I want to go with him.
You know, no relatives, but my grandmother is a landlord, so we have a lot of
that's so dope
for like the family. So inherently, like I am in real estate by birth.
So yeah, it was already in your blood type stuff.
Yeah, the lineage is just passing down properties, and we're just adding them as we all come and go. So technically, yeah, I was always in real estate, but I just didn't know the value of real estate until I got older. Much older, so. I wish I knew about real estate before I went to college. Honestly,
why you say that? Expand on that.
I wish I would have known about real estate before I went to college. Because I think the way I was taught is just college was the only avenue to getting that stable job that's gonna pay your mortgage, pay your bills, pay for your lifestyle. But that's not the only route. And I think more people should explore alternative careers outside of, like, going to college and stuff like that. Granted, my college experience was great for my years of undergrad and my years at Georgetown and grad. It was really good, but all that time that I took, 7 years in my business, who knows where I would be right now. You know what I mean? So, but I'm grateful nonetheless. I've made some great connections. And even those connections have allowed me to make more money. So, yeah, it all works out.
I wouldn't even look at it like that. Like you said earlier, everybody's journey has a destination, and we all running our own path. That was just happened to be the path that you took, and I would say if you did do the route you mentioned earlier, for an example, you would have never met me, and you would have never came across wholesaling, maybe, or been as successful. Not tooting my own horn, but you know I love doing so. I'm just saying.
I think everything is divine, honestly. Like
that's how I feel. That's kind of where I'm coming back with that.
Always like, oh, you think everything is divine? No, everything truly is divine. There's no such thing as coincidence in my book.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I do what I want to do. But everything is divine. Everything.
So, you are a former basketball player and a current basketball coach, correct?
Correct.
So, moving forward with your particular business, right, you being the GM and your coach, do you feel like you're going to add a team to your business, or do you feel like you're a one-woman band and matriarch mindset, I got this by myself? How is that going for you?
You know, right now I would say that I'm self-employed because I kind of run everything in my business. And I think that's cool because I need to be able to really know the ins and outs of my business to be able to train someone up to do it exactly how I do it, or, you know, do it well enough so that I can be, you know, remove myself from the business completely and start to scale. I didn't want to scale too early because I feel like, I'm not going to say a lot of people, but some people scale way too early. It just wasn't time for me to scale when I was learning and when I was doing a couple of deals. It just wasn't, I didn't need, you know, too much help. But I think that in the future, I do want to scale the business so that I can truly be the business owner and not self-employed. Because when you're the business owner, you're not actually doing the work. You're seeing the results of the work that other people are doing that you're paying them for, and you're making up the difference. So,
okay.
I definitely will be looking at it soon and doing some partnerships because it just makes more sense.
And since McDonald's.
Period.
When you did play basketball, what position did you play and what was your role?
Honestly, what part, I'm trying to think. In high school, I played all the positions because I went to Friendly High School and times were different. And when I went to college, I think I played the four. Yeah, I played the four.
Mm-hmm.
depending on the team, the role changed, because you can't play every team the same, because every team don't play the same. You know, you might have to play some straight up, some people play zone, some plays are more aggressive than others, some people have slashes and good defenders, and some people have weak defenders and great offensive players. So you kind of really got to be flexible and change up your playbook, so you can't really play every team the same.
Absolutely, and piggybacking off that statement, the reason I'm asking these basketball questions is because I love basketball. I played it my whole entire life. Up until I got too old, you know, my back started hurting and all that. So the reason I'm saying that is to use your defender example. You can consider the Sellers the defenders, or your defenders. You know what I'm saying. And like they have great defense as far as their rebuttals go when they say no. So in that regard, to a new wholesaler, how do you combat that good defense by a seller?
Honestly, you know, every seller is different, like you said. So some sellers, you got to really build rapport. Like, you got to, like, talk to these people, like, once a month, twice a week. I think I had to warm one up for about a month before we could close, which was, like, crazy. But as far as the sellers go, I think what I was telling someone today is when you are trying to, you know, get a property under contract and you're trying to negotiate the price, you got to think, like, full picture. So, like, you might be trying to negotiate the best price right now before you've even seen the property. And let's say you saw some pictures, but those pictures could be old. What I tell people now is get the contract, put your 10-day inspection contingency in there, go see it. Then you now have leverage to negotiate price, because, you know, you're just telling me you got a nice kitchen, a nice bathroom, you know, semi-updated. It's just talk. So you always have to trust and verify in real estate. So it's best to put on the contract first, because you have 10 days of wiggle room to say, hey, this is a great deal. Hey, I'm actually, you know, I'm going to have to come in a little bit lower. Actually, I might be able to add you some value here. So just lock it up first. Lock it up. Don't waste your time going to see it before you lock it up, because you might be moving too slow because the next person already locked it up. You spend an hour trying to drive out to go see the property, and now you don't have a deal.
I love that. So I got a specific question for you in terms of, you know, seeing that you have a matriarch mindset and all that, right? What advice specifically as a black woman would you give another black woman or future black woman that wants to jump in this space and are afraid to jump? Because, you know, as a man, it's a lot easier for me. I'm not trying to be gender racist or biased. I'm just speaking what I feel as well.
It's a patriarchal society.
Yeah. So it's a lot easier for me, per se, to go to a stranger's house and things of that nature. So what particular advice as a black woman would you give other black women coming into this space as far as moving forward with safety and knowing that your goal at the end is just financial freedom?
Oh, never go to a property alone, ever. Ever. Especially if you're going with a real estate agent, that's a very different experience as opposed to you're meeting a seller at their property that's probably dilapidated or in whatever condition. Don't ever go anywhere by yourself. I don't care if the owner's a woman. I don't care if the owner is a friend of a friend. Don't ever go by yourself. It's just a safety thing. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes in these properties, there are squatters. Like, you just got to be prepared for everything. I always say bring some protection with you, just knife, whatever you need. Just because you're a human outside of being a woman, like, you need to protect yourself. So that's number one. Safety in this business. And also, like, I think, as you mentioned, it is male rent industry, but wear as many hats as you need to. So, like, I tell my friends all the time, I am whoever I need to be. So when I'm seeking out leads, my name is Tim, which is actually my father's name, Timothy, because I find that fellas respond better to men than they do women. In my experience, like, if I say, hey, I'm Chayla Lewis, I'm reaching out, they're like, oh yeah. If I say, hey, I'm Tim, what's the number? Let's talk. They're like, maybe an offer. They're more inclined. Sometimes I'm Jay Lewis, the acquisition manager. Sometimes I'm the CEO. Sometimes I am talent management. I can be whoever I need to be as long as it gets to go down.
I love that aspect, and I love how you worded it. I definitely, like you say, it varies for me as far as the men and women thing, as far as just trying to get the leads in. But like you said, whatever works for your particular business, just keep going forward with that. And I want to say also, I can never congratulate you enough for the success that you've gotten. I look so forward to just watching you grow. And as we're talking now on the phone, doing this for the podcast, I never foresaw myself interviewing a student of mine because that person became so successful. So, like, I'm having a surreal moment right now. And I love the fact that you took a chance on me garnered a whole new avenue of income for yourself. Like, all I was a vessel. So for you to take action and make and do all these checks and do everything, like, now you can take that and apply that and do so much with it. Now, I can't tell you how I'm very, very proud of you. And I look forward to watching you grow in your business and watching you help others and add value as well.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. Honestly, I didn't see myself being, I guess, on your podcast or being interviewed. I was telling my friend, like, oh, yeah, I got an interview later. She's like, for what? I'm like, actually, my mentor is interviewing me.
Fire.
I think that's so, like, and divine. Yeah, you know, and it's nice to get that recognition, especially when you're in your business and, you know, you're boosting the ground, grassroots stage, you're trying to build it up. Just getting any type of acknowledgement is really, really nice, especially from people who've done it before you and things of that nature. So I really do appreciate it. I really do.
Nice. So now that we're in a new year, you know, new year, new me, new company goal mindset, new company mission statement, right? Your company has a wholesaling division. Are you going to add flipping divisions? You mentioned buy and hold. Are you going to be doing flipping as well, or is it going to be just portfolio adding and wholesaling?
I'm thinking about both. I think property management is huge because a lot of people out here fixing and flipping that have the capital but don't actually have the time. One of my investors is actually a prime example of this. He has so many properties. He's a realtor in Virginia, and he's so busy that he sometimes just doesn't have time to, like, oversee his projects. And so property management is definitely one. And I think one of the things that's very important to me is not just the slow down and the quick, you know, nickel. Like, I want to make sure that I'm investing the money so that I can continue to see the returns on that money. So that means rental properties or something that's going to create some cash flow that's going to consistently come without me having to do any work. If I stop wholesaling tomorrow, I stop making money. If I stop flipping tomorrow, I stop making money. If I invest my money in a rental property, the rental's going to pay for itself. Of course, obviously, if the tenant's not paying, that's a whole nother story. But essentially, I put that money in this property. It's going to produce me a return on investment every time that I could just know. I sit in the house, I go check my mailbox, and it's coming. And that's really what I want, some hands-off type of investing that I don't have to keep working as hard for. And then, two, what's the point of working so hard for this money if you have nothing to show for it in the end? Because you invest the money to get the equity out of the property, and you do with it what you want. Sometimes it makes sense to keep it. Sometimes it makes sense to sell it. So you just got to play the numbers right and play the game. Like, this house that I bought for myself, I can sell it right now and make a really decent profit, but they're not done building. So
Wait a minute. We didn't know that. You're a homeowner now?
Yeah, I'm a homeowner, yes. I'm a homeowner, yes.
Congrats on that. Well, follow-up question with that. Do you feel like you being a homeowner helped or harmed you in your wholesaling journey?
I think it helped me because I live alone. I used to, you know, stay with my parents. They were so gracious to keep me after college. And I think there are no distractions here. It's just me. I don't have anyone questioning, you know, what I'm doing. It's funny because when I told my mother, I told her like a year prior, it's like, yeah, Mom, I'm going to be a wholesaler. She's like, okay, sweetie. So as soon as I got my first check, you know, she got the picture. And she's like, huh. So every check I get, she knows, because I just had to let her know, like, sis, I told you. But yeah, it's much easier to, and also buying a house made me learn a lot about real estate, like how it all works with the financing and things to look for. You're looking around at your house, your brand new house, looking like, oh, actually, they were a little sloppy right here. But when you got the rose-colored glasses on, everything looks perfect. So it's really interesting how, you know, things evolve.
What about the naysayers that says, you know what, Shayla got lucky on her first couple of deals because she's in an area that does it? What about the naysayers that says she can't do it again or she can't top what she did last year? What do you say to them?
I don't know, because I don't actually pay much attention to, you know, what others are doing, because I'm so focused on watering my own grass. And I think that's one of the blessings about being the type of person I am. I think if I focus too much on everybody else, then I would never have time to focus on me, and they might be right. Because I'm worried about what they're doing. But also, most of the time, the people who are talking about it, they don't really have much to show for it. So they can't walk in the same rooms as you. So, like, my name supersedes me when I walk in the room. So I'm not having these conversations with people who can't even, you know, support themselves. It's not a conversation.
Your name and your presence. So if you, like you said, when we first, our genesis in our relationship, you came to me for a real estate leads list. So for those of you that I don't know, I used to sell. I'm no longer going to do this. I used to sell lead services to other investors in the area because I have access to it. So moving forward after, like we said, you did that, but then you said, teach me how to fish instead, right? So
right.
You were skeptical at first. At what point would you say, you know what, and I mean before the first deal closed, at what point did you say, maybe, you know what, maybe this guy Lens isn't bullshitting? What point did that hit you?
I think for me, I never doubted that it worked because mm-hmm. I've seen other people do it and you did it. So I'm like, okay, it works. But why him?
Mm.
Anywhere I want. I could go to Jumanji over here. I can go to somebody on Instagram. Everybody's got the courses. But I just thought it was divine that we linked up like that. And I don't know, my gut was just telling me to go with you. And I didn't necessarily want to have to break the bank either to learn some mm-hmm. more stuff. Like I said, because I educated
myself. So wait a minute. He's handsome and affordable?
I'm crying. This man. This dude. But I'm over here getting leads now, trying to ignore them because I'm busy. But I'm like, yeah, I mean, honestly, no one's trying to pay $10,000 and hope that they get return on their money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not ideal. What? That's foolish. So it just made a lot of sense. It was divine, and it worked for me at the time. I had the money, and I was like, sure, I mean, why not? And honestly, when you think about things apples to apples, and you think, I would probably run this money on something I don't even need for real, or something.
That's how I'd be feeling about investing, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Or me and my sister say this all the time, I've definitely given away more. I've given away more money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, giving it away. So, why not? Invest in yourself. You're your best investment. And can't nobody take your knowledge from you. They can take your money, they can take your house, they can take all you know, but they cannot take your knowledge. That's the most powerful asset you can have. Intelligence is a torture wisdom.
Did you get good grades in school?
Of course. I went to Georgetown.
Shayla, you caught me there. I can't, like I said before, and I'm going to keep repeating it, I can never tell you how much I'm proud of you. Like, I'm sincerely, extremely proud of you. It's like watching, literally planting a seed and just watching it grow, and not just grow, prosper. Because, you know, some plants grow crooked and shit, you know what I'm saying? Some plants grow that way. But you blossom into a full tree that's now spreading its roots to different elements and divisions of real estate. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up now. I know you got leads coming in. That's my closing statement, man. I just can't wait to keep watching you grow and being successful. Did you have any closing statement you want to say to the people or anything in that regard?
No, I don't have any closing statements, but you can follow me on Instagram at Matriarch Mindset, 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 MINDSET. That is my Instagram name. So, actually, did I spell that right? I don't think I did.
Wait, you went to Georgetown. Don't do that. You went to Georgetown.
I don't get on Instagram, but I know I have one. Matriarch, MATIARCH, Mindset, MINDSET. Follow me. I'll send you some stuff. But yeah, follow me and ask me any questions that you want. I really appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the acknowledgement. And I appreciate the relationship. I hope that we can continue to, you know,
Wait. Hope is a very bad strategy. Ain't no hope about it. We're gonna do
hope is a bad strategy.
Hope is a horrible strategy.
You gotta have faith, man.
Yeah,
you gotta
man.
Have faith.
So not only are we gonna continue to do what we're doing, we're gonna show everyone, as far as anybody watching that wants to learn, because those that don't, who cares? Anybody that's watching that wants to learn, we're gonna show them how to properly build a business from scratch and how to add value to both the home seller and investors in your area. And for your Instagram, I'm going to make sure to add the caption and the link in the description so everybody can go ahead and make sure y'all follow her, man. She's a great person. She's a great student. She's soon to be a great teacher. And although she's the first guest on here who's not a millionaire, she's going to be a billionaire. I promise you, this girl is an intelligent genius, and she's going to go to the comet, the moon, and back.
I appreciate it. Oh, also, the only thing I would say that I think is impactful is to make sure that you structure your business right and try not to do stuff in your name. Get you an LLC. Separate yourself from the liabilities. It's not a really high-risk business, but you still want to make sure you protect your personal assets. So definitely form that LLC. LLC, huh? Get her LLC for Christmas next year.
Was your first deal, last question. At what point did you add your LLC to your business? At what deal? Deal number what?
Deal number one. Listen, let me tell y'all. I'm so sure about myself that I knew if I put my mind to it, I would do it. So September 11th, actually, I started my LLC. I actually hadn't done any wholesaling, like, transactions yet. I started my LLC. The next week, I went to the bank and opened a business account. $0, hadn't made a dollar, hadn't connected with no sellers or buyers. I put all that in motion because I wanted to make sure when the opportunity did come, I was already ready and I wasn't trying to do stuff backwards. And that also pushed me to make it happen. I sat in that man's office in Chase and he said, oh, so you doing what now? I said, I need to open a business bank account. He said, well, what's your projected revenue for you? I said, we should go $50,000. I literally did like, I'm sitting in his man's, in his seat like this, just chilling. He's like, so what exactly is it that you do? I explained it to him. And then a couple of deals later, I actually went back and went and visited him. And he goes, oh, you wasn't playing. I was like, I told you.
That's so fire. But that
was myself keeping me accountable. I was like, well, I already told him what I was going to do. Now I just got to go do it. And that's what happened.
And that's what we call, you know what we call that, right? Having that kind of confidence in yourself. You know what we call that, right?
I do. What's it called again?
That's called being in your real state of mind, baby. Like, yeah, that's being yourself, your truest self, and never doubting yourself. Shayla, again, thank you so much. Out of all the guests, I'm sure I have more. You are definitely my favorite for a multitude of reasons, but obviously because you trusted in me, and I just love watching you grow.
Dang, shout out Spotify. I love
Big
Spotify.
Big facts. This is going on Spotify as well. So y'all see this on YouTube and y'all driving. Make sure to get a Spotify play as well. Because that was a plug, but sincerely speaking, you want to consume yourself with this stuff. So you want to be driving with it. You need these audio books. You want to be on YouTube. So literally, after the YouTube, go on Spotify and then go, not just my podcast, consume yourself with all of this, man. And just watch yourself grow and stay in your real state of mind. And make sure you follow Matriarch Mindset on Instagram. Description will be added. God bless you, Shayla. You know I love you and you know we got work to do.
All love, for sure. Appreciate
it. All right, bet. Thank you so much.